Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم. All unqualified praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ, His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, in His hand is good things, excellent things. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and He has power over everything. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that our leader Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed over 1,440 years ago, is His slave servant and His messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amma ba'd. ألم تروا كيف خلق الله سبع السماوات تباقا وجعل القمر فيهن نورا وجعل الشمس سراجا والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا ثم يعدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا. Sadaq Allah al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. These are the 13th to the 18th ayahs of the 71st surah of the Quran, and an expression of this surah Nuh. It's the chapter entitled Noah. And it says, Do not you see how He created, that is Allah, how Allah created the seven heavens in layers and made the moon in it a light and made the sun a lamp. And Allah has caused you to grow from the earth gradually like a plant. Then He will return you into it and then bring you out, bring you forth from it anew. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. A report from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people are like mines, M-I-N-E-S, mines of silver and gold. The best of them in the time of ignorance are the best of them in al-Islam, if they have the correct perception of how religious knowledge is to be applied. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue today in a subtopic of the main topic being the five obligations for building ummah. The five obligations for building ummah. As a reminder, that's family, intellect, religion, that is the ritual or the worship life of us, religion, the self, meaning your own nafs, your own personality, etc., your own mental health even, the self, and also property. Property. Those five are obligatory in order to have ummah. They rest upon the solidity and the firmness of those five matters, which is, you can take that as another reading from what the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams. The structure of al-Islam is built on five. We know that the first five that's being addressed is Shahadatain, Salat, Zakat, Sawm, and Hajj. You establish those, and then there are institutions that arise out of each one of those when they are lived and practiced right. But nevertheless, we're speaking to the five daruri that have been derived and affirmed through scholarship after the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are at this point. This is the fourth part when we're addressing the intellect. We're addressing the intellect. The intellect is one of those five. And we're working through it on the basis of those four categories that are mentioned in Surah Al-A'la. Surah Al-A'la, they come first in the first three verses. سبح اسم ربك العالى الذي خلق فسوى وقدر فهدى. Those four. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh has told us that when you know those four things about anything, then you know everything about that thing. That being said, I remind you of how to even embrace that statement from the Imam. He said, you know everything about that thing? Yeah, if you know those four things, you know everything about that thing abstractly. Abstractly. And I remind you of what we mean when we say abstract. Abstract means it's the truth, but without details. It's the truth, but without details. So, خَلَقَ سَوَّ قَدَّرَ هَادَ. You know that about anything, then abstractly, you know everything about it, but you don't get the details right there on the surface. So what takes us time, we human beings, right? What takes us time in abstracting the truth, and you could read it as extracting, abstracting the truth, the details from it. That's where the length of our conversation come from, because that is why that is what details are for. And we love to reinforce the fact that Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi is our teacher, and I emphasize him as a teacher because he has taught us. I mean, literally. I mean, we were not necessarily in a bricks and mortar stadium-sized college classroom as we were learning from him, but he was more than a professor to us. So anyone who has had college experience and has been taught in those academic settings, there is nothing of what Imam Muhammad rahimahullah gave us that is diminished because it was not received in that setting. He gave us in deep and profound detail many things. But he invited persons like myself to, he said, when I speak to a matter, that is, he's addressing us in the public or he's teaching, he said, when I speak to a matter, that I don't have the time or the opportunity to give the details. I can only give hints and suggestions. It's the responsibility of those who are supporting and following and studying me for them to bring the information that would make the information edifying to the believers, to the people. So edification comes with these details. And so since he's given us that tool, I use that tool. خَلَقَ سَوَّ قَدْرَ هَذَا. So up to now, we have got to the point where I can state again, abstractly, having said those details in the previous three portions of this subject, what is the form now? We can answer that question much more briefly now. What is the form of the intellect? The intellect is an attribute of the soul. And we also got to the point where we can make a statement, details are behind us right now, that Adam is a state of the soul and the intellect is an attribute of the soul. I have to say this because this is what we have to do. We have to transform the way that we see. We have to transform the way that we see. Most everything, real quick example, human being. When most times when we say or hear that word or those words, human being, automatically we think about the biological person. It's just automatic. It's just habit. It's just natural. That's what we've grown up with. Oh, that's a human being, right? So that has served us, but it also limits us in our perception of our reality. Because yes, when you see a biological living person, you say yes, that's a human being. But there's the reality of that human being is beyond the physical, and we've already covered that, so we're not going to spend a lot of time there. The idea is that even when we say Adam, it's natural to think about, oh, Adam, yeah, that's the human being. And Adam, especially in this society we've been raised up, we think about man, and particularly the male. But the point is, we think about the physical body again. And this is what you're being invited to step out of. Step out of seeing Adam physically. Step out of seeing the human being physically. Okay? See the human being as something non-physical. See Adam as something non-physical, right? So, Adam is a state of the soul. And when we talked about the self, the nefs, etc., we spent all the time doing that, several lectures on that, so we're not going to stay there. But just understand that Adam is the soul, and more particularly, Adam is a state of the soul, and the intellect is one of the attributes of the soul. Muhammad Iqbal, Allama Iqbal, in his writing, The Reconstruction of Religious Life, he said, speaking of the human being, in his inmost being, man, as conceived by the Quran, is a creative activity. So even his statement, I'm not finished, but even his statement is that don't even see man as a physiological, biological creature, see him as a creative activity. He
it's a creative activity. That's abstract. But see, that's the reality. The truth is in the abstract. Okay? So, he says, as conceived by the Quran. And he lets us know, I'm not making this up. That's what the Quran is telling you. Huh? As conceived by the Quran, is a creative activity, and following on, an ascending spirit. He's saying this is what the real human being is. He's a creative activity. He's an ascending spirit who, in his onward march, rises from one state of being to another. We're going up a ladder. Our creative activity, which is us, our spiritual reality, is climbing, trying to get to the fullness of our expression. That's who we are, an ascending spirit. Okay, so now we need to see two, the physical and the metaphysical. The physical and the metaphysical, right? So there's the physical human being, but the metaphysical human being is that creative activity, that ascending spirit that is ascending to stage after stage, as said here, state after state. I'm putting forward an effort here to get you to embrace Adam not as a concrete, but Adam as an abstract, which is his reality. I'm going to go about it this way. Physically, as we move from stage to stage, we get different labels. Just think about, okay, first there's pregnancy, right? And that pregnancy started with a zygote. It was a human being, not fully developed, but it was a human being in beginning progression, right? So you have the zygote, then you have the fetus, and then you have the baby, then you have the infant, then you have the child, then you have the adolescent, then you have the adult, let's say. You have the adult, and then, you know, inshallah, sometimes they become senior citizens, right? All right. But the point that I'm making is every stage gets a new name. But every stage is the human being in ascendancy, right? It doesn't stop being a human being at any point until literally they pass away physically in this world. Okay, so since it is that we put these labels on the evolving human being, physically, it's no different when it comes to metaphysically. Because each one of these names that I name, they are different names for different states. Different names for different states. And I know the thought passed through the W.D. Muhammad students and said, yeah, this is called the United States of America. Why is it called states? That's your homework. You work with that. I told you about Hawaii, right? And that's the 50th state, but that was in another subject. There are different names for different states, and for every state there are different potentials and different powers. There's different potential for the fetus, for the zygote, for the infant, for the adolescent, for the child, for the adult. Different potentialities, meaning that the potential can be there, let's say for speech, for example, infants. Literally the term infant means without speech. Right? So until speech has been stabilized, the person is considered to be an infant. But once speech stabilizes, they cease to be an infant, they become a child. Okay? So the point is that the state changes and the potential arises as a capacity, as an ability. But there's a movement from state to state to state, stage to stage to stage, which is the arriving of a capability that wasn't there, but puberty. Let's go with that, right? Puberty, the capacity for procreation wasn't there before puberty, but then after they crossed that bridge of puberty, now the capacity for procreation is there for the male and for the female, right? And they move from being, a child to being an adolescent, et cetera, in that. Okay. All right, brothers and sisters. Once you get this. So when someone says, and I've talked a lot about it, but it falls right in line here, when we say she's pregnant, when we say she's pregnant, if you stop right there, then you're saying that's all she is. Who is she? She's pregnant. That's what the sentence says. She is pregnant. But is that all she is? Well, that's a statement of the state. And I see enough gray hair in here for y'all to remember where it says she's in a family way. We used to be a little more sociable, civilized. So we just say she's in a family way. Is that all she is? She's in a family way. So it's that pregnant and family way describes a state. And once you understand what it's labeling, then you know the conditions that are being couched under that term. So, now if you can get that, then you can understand when we say Adam is a disposition. Adam is a disposition. Adam is a state of the metaphysical body. See, we have a physical body, but we also have a metaphysical body. That is the mate of the physical body. And just as the physical body goes state, 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 name change, name change, name change, capacity evolve, capacity evolve, capacity evolve, that's for the physical, what we're working on and what we must work on, and we're not working on it until we actualize an understanding of that and act on it, that is, we have to traverse or evolve and grow our metaphysical self so as to express all of its potential, because that is what's supposed to do the work in the world while you live. Your psychic body, your metaphysical body has to become an adult. I can't remember that bumper sticker. Y'all seen it? The point is, no matter how old you get, you even though you get old, you still ain't growing up. Something like that. You know, it's like, you know, the calendar keeps turning pages, but you ain't maturing. Right? Okay, so I'm saying that same thing can happen with us physically. But if we don't recognize the responsibility that we have to our metaphysical reality, then we won't get out of this brief time called life what we could potentially get, because we never developed the capacity that was supposed to be used for getting in this universe during this brief time that we are here on the planet, this brief time that we call life. This is why Allah says, one of the many reasons, Allah says, blessed is he that causes it to grow. It's not just male, it's the individual. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. What? Your soul. What? Your metaphysical body. What? Your abstract, your spiritual potential, your creative activity that you are. It has to mature. Maybe your creative capacity is still a zygote. Maybe your creative capacity is still a fetus. Maybe your creative capacity is still an embryo. Because if the creative capacity is mature, it should be creating stuff. I mean, it makes sense to me. My brother, Dr. Zay, he's doing a workshop tomorrow downtown, African American History Museum. Alhamdulillah, he come all the way from D.C., the home of the world's biggest African American museum. And I went into that museum my first time yesterday, and I worked two blocks from there for I don't know how many years. But it's a blessing sometimes. But why am I talking to you? The idea is, is creativity a part of your workshop? I thought I saw a flyer. I didn't read it too. You got flyers back there. You do that. But let me get back to the subject. That is, what Iqbal says, that you're creative. You are a creative activity. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. Then if that's true as to who we are, then I should be able to grow my creative activity. Oh, well, I'm not very creative. See, that's how they robbed you. They said only certain people are creative. And only certain people are intellectuals. So don't you think about you being a thinker because it ain't in you. Look at your daddy. Wait, show me where your daddy. Oh, you don't even know who he is. Okay, what? So we shut down our reality. That's the theft. That's the theft that has happened to us. You have been told. You have, in fact, more so, you have not been told at all who you really are. That's the secret. The secret is who you really are. Because if you find out who you really are, then the people who ride your back, they know they're in trouble. Because you're going to stand up. But I'm not going to pull out the soapbox too heavy right now. But the main point that I'm making here is that the metaphysical body has labels too. And run number one is Adam. You just got on the ladder. When you get to Adamic, to the Adamic state, when you get the Adamic disposition, you're on the first of those levels. You're in the first state. And Imam Rahimahullah Alayh, he said, Adam is the state of the soul that arises when your life is reconciled with the nature created by God. Brother and sister, you have to marry the universe. And you know, do the rest of it. You know, yeah, you have to have that intimate interaction with the universe. That's the creative process. And businesses get born, inventions get born, institutions get born, etc., etc. But if you never have the proper intimate relationship with the nature of creation, your creativity will bear nothing. So where we are, intellect is intellect which is reconciled, accepting, believing in. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to believe in that nature of your relationship with the creation, and it is that belief. This is the sawa. I know, khalaqa, I jumped. Khalaqa is, what is the form? Of the intellect. Intellect is an attribute of the soul. Soul has many, many attributes, but the one we're talking about when we speak about intellect is the soul. And it has a function, has a critical role to play in creativity. So the question is next, after what is the form, what is the place within the system? This is what I'm pointing to. Your intellect, which is no less potent than any other intellect, your intellect is as potent as Einstein's. as potent as the sciences of the, as potent as the quants, that's what they're called, on Wall Street. As potent as the software developers that have given us all this AI that's just like wildfire running all over the world, and we don't know what the hell is going on. You don't know, is that a real person or is that a cartoon? Let's not go there. You all know about that. All right, so, but we want to be on the natural path, right? So we're on that Adam. Adam is the state of the soul that arises when your life is reconciled with the nature created by Allah. Own this universe, brother and sister. It's really what I'm saying. Don't treat the universe like it's all right, so, but we want to be on the natural path, right? So we're on the Adam. Adam is the state of the soul that arises when your life is reconciled with the nature created by Allah. Own this universe, brother and sister. It's really what I'm saying. Don't treat the universe like it's something just so separate, belong to somebody else. It belongs to the people that do rockets and satellites and all that kind of, that's who it belongs to. I'm just here. Hell no. This universe is a gift to me because I live from the Lord who created it. Come on now. How happy will you be if somebody roll up in the driveway and, you know, Rolls Royce rolls up in the driveway and Yeah, who's that? This is Mr. Billings. Yeah, what can I do for you? I just want to give you the keys. Yeah. Keys to what? I don't know. I just bring the keys. You go out to the driveway, have a heart attack, and then get brought back because somebody rolled a Rolls up in your driveway and says it's yours. Would you be happy about that? Well, how come you're not happy about the universe as a gift? The universe can do more than a Rolls Royce. But only if you put your intellect to it. Only if you bring it into the creative activity. Only if you purify and embrace its ascendant spirit. Only if you get into the Adamic state that gives you the disposition to find patterns for thinking in that universe. Come on, now you're talking about getting jacked in. Get jacked into the universe. That's one of my old dance moves from back in the day. I got to find some kind of way to get to that soul, man. Because I want you to get there. I need some company, inshallah. So... My battery on my recorder just died too. So Yusuf, make sure I get this copy for today. MashaAllah. So let's finish up this portion. So Adam is that state of mind that finds patterns for your thinking in the creation that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity and your potential inside of you. Brother and sister, I hope you hear in that statement, Allah is rooting for you. Allah is rooting for us. He's left us with free will, so we have to do our part. He can't jump into the fight for you. You can invite him into the fight, and there's ways to do that. But overall, personal responsibility, self-responsibility, self-motivation, all those things are the things that Allah rewards. But if you're sitting back waiting to be gifted, he already gave you the whole universe. What else is there to give you? Okay? So the idea is about learning about yourself as Allah has designed it.
and connecting yourself with this gift called the universe and getting your creative activity to grow, and that is what will lead to the goal and the destiny that Allah created us for. That's what we must do.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين آمين الله أكبر بسم
الله So بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Alright, so continuing with the issue of okay, we talked about khalaqa. That's whatever we're going to say about it, we've said it. Khalaqa. Now the next thing is sawwa. Sawwa is placed within the system, right? I'm going to read several quotes from Imam Muhammad rahimahullah that simply speak directly to that, and that's going to be the essence of our khutbah in this portion today. So Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, he said, when we speak of the human being, we're talking about the highest life form that exists in this material system that God made. So that's you. Here's a critical thing to also understand. I talked about the African American History Museum that we visited, and the idea about knowing self. It's always been for a very long time, for the early 20th century, maybe more limited, but definitely in the 50s and 60s, the knowledge of self became a big deal, with no small part played by the Nation of Islam of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But those who, you know, we call ourselves kings and queens, right? That's my queen, that's my king, I'm a king, I'm a queen. In reality, that's too small. You're actually bigger than that. You come from a history with it, but you're bigger than that. So that's one. When you go that way, that's too small for your reality. But then when you say you're the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe, now you're doing a little too much. I get it. I know what you're aiming at. But that's got some Darlene qualities to it. But we get it, and we get why that was said. You know, we call it hyperbole, right? Look it up, okay? So that's fine. Where we are, everything that we said, the universe is yours. You are born out of it. You were created to be the master of it under the will of Allah. That's what Khalifatul Ard. You were made to stand on the earth as a representative of everything in creation, but that don't make you God. You can only be that when you bow to God. When you bow to God, then everything else bows to you.
That's it.
Allahu Akbar. This ain't hyperbole here, bro. Then Allah says, "Sakhara lakum ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard." He, the creator of all. He said, all this is made to serve you. But before they serve you, y'all can finish that sentence. Before they serve you, you have to serve me.
Eddie Murphy was trading places. They brought him into the mansion. Yeah. He's a little street hood, right? Brought him into the mansion. This is all yours. And he started. Acting like he got to steal stuff. Hey, man, you ain't got to steal nothing. It's yours.
That's how we should understand our place in the universe. You don't have to lie about it. Don't look for a real, you know, heavy lie. Yeah, brother. I'm going to leave it alone. So there's a lot of places we can go with that. For some reason, I think it stopped. It is what it is. Let's move on. So okay. Imam Muhammad makes a statement. So let's move on. Says, so what is the purpose of the whole material realm? I'm quoting him.
all material reality, sun, moon, star, planets, everything, earth, and everything that's in it and comes out of it, what is the purpose of all that? It is to express our humanity, to express our own life. So actually, I am a dynamic creature. I am the purpose for which the whole world was made. I am the purpose. How can you have low self-esteem when you know that? How do you have low self-esteem when you embrace the fact that I'm the purpose for everything that's created? Man, come on. I'm the purpose for which the whole world was made. I'm the purpose for which the universe was made. And I am the universe as a life germ. I'm in the universe as a life germ. I'm planted in the universe, and I'm growing after having been planted by the creator of the universe. Man. The Imam again, he says, the creation of man is more importantly the creation of a creature that will study God's universe and use knowledge. So accept that the world, the whole of it, what you see with your physical eyes or with a telescope, what the telescope and your physical eyes can't reach, understand that God the Creator made it for the mind of the human being. That's really a big deal. So inshallah, when we go to the next, because what I just stated was, that's our place within the system. Everything I just said, and it's the second part of this khutbah, what is the khalaqa fasawwa, the sawwa, that's our place within the system. We are a big deal. Human beings, and see, and this is the shaitan in the world's atmosphere and mind today. They are nature. Did you hear that? They're bent on the denial of nature. Shame on them for wanting to get Aretha Franklin taken off of iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, because she sings the song, A Natural Woman. It's harmful to my gender identity. Because, the article says, there is no such thing as a natural woman. You looking for shaitan? You have to look far. The enemy is nature. So our effort is to subvert nature. Read that 119th verse of the fourth surah. I'll create in them false desires. Cause them to transgress the natural form. So, excuse me. That's why our goal, we have to be on the side of nature. And even the writers of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, they say of God and of nature's God. That's in the documents. In God and nature's God. They're making it plain. Look, we believe in a creator that created everything, and we have natural, unalienable rights. Right? But that's all that's under fire now. So, inshallah, the next time we speak to this is, we'll get to the qaddara. Qaddara is talking about power. It's talking about potential. In Imam Muhammad's language, it's the movement from simple to complex. I'm saying a lot of things, but the point is, how does it grow? How does your intellect grow?
And I'm talking about in the schema that I've just described. God created the universe. He embedded us in the universe. He evolved us out of the universe. He gave us the universe as a gift. And the height of our excellence is our intellect. That intellect has to come to a maturity, and it has to learn how to find patterns for its thinking in the universe. Then, with the discovery of those patterns, that's when it can really get creative. See? And that's why so many of the others are ahead of us. They're ahead of us because they lead us to believe that high ideas are for white people. Come on now, you know that's the case. High idea, nigga, what you trying? You read what? Quantum what? Nigga, you can't even spell quantum. Man, what you talking about? If you let them bite you like that. No, 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 no. So this growth, what I'm itching at is that I got to give you a taste, right? I got to give you a taste. I'm doing good on time, really. It's like, I don't know if it feels like it to you, but I'm doing I'm doing good on time. But sometimes when it gets real good, you forget about what time it is. You're in the flow, right? But listen to this. We're going to get to the details, inshallah. You've heard about this whole right brain, left brain. We're old enough and educated enough to know right brain, left brain. I'm going to tell you that in reality, the way that it's described, it's not really that, oh, this stuff happens over here on the right side and this stuff happens over here. No, it's a whole brain activity. So sometimes resources that benefit language are pulled from the right side of the brain. Sometimes things that benefit creativity are pulled from the left side, wah, wah. So that's all. But it's a useful, what you call social construct. That's okay. Well, he's more right-brained than he's more left. She's more left-brained than that. That's fine. It's useful. It's a way of getting at it. It's not quote-unquote wrong if you keep it in the abstract and you don't just think about it as literally the right lobe, all that stuff. And if you lose the right lobe, then you lose the capacity for this and that. There are certain things that you will lose, but they relate more to the physicality. I'm not trying to teach the whole lesson. What I'm saying to you is that this universe that we're trying to and that we should be seeking to find patterns for our thought in, your brain has already been made to match what the universe requires of you. The universe, some of it is known, some of it is unknown. And that's how it is with us. There's some things that we know, and there's some things that we don't know. Right? And the more we grow it, then the greater and greater we have the capacity to recognize what we need to know based on what we don't know. We come to that fullness of knowledge, and then that moves us to the next level, moves us to the next state. And this is what we'll spend more time with that later. But understand this. Spend some time studying this before we get together next week, inshallah. But look at photosynthesis. Just look at photosynthesis, right? Photosynthesis has everything to do with what our mind and what our intellect is supposed to do in order to grow in this universe that God has gifted us with. See, because when God said he created us growing gradually like a plant, next question is, okay, well, how do plants grow? And the main way that plants grow is through photosynthesis. Next thing is, how does that photosynthesis relate to me as a being? Because everything in creation is just a sign that God is communicating to me to tell me how to move in the universe. It's an ayah. It's a sign. But if you don't know how to read the sign, you can't make progress. So if you got people that only teach you about the ritual, but never teach you how to read the signs in creation, then you become their pet. Don't get it twisted. You don't think somebody will use you as a pet as a Muslim. You're a Muslim. But because they know what you don't know about yourself and your relationship to God and the universe, they will dazzle you. Not everybody. There are those who, you know, they're cool. I'm not condemning everybody. But look now, this ain't my first rodeo, so I'm just like, when you see them and say, oh, okay, well, that's pimping with a throw bone. That's what I know pimping when I see it, right? So it don't matter if it's a kufi, a scarf, or whatever. Let's move up. So the idea is primary, secondary, tertiary. You can't come around here if you're scared of words, okay? When you read the Quran, there's a primary reading, what it literally says, and that's how it relates to your worship, right? And especially as it relates to life that comes after this life. Read it in the way that will get you to Jannah and keep you out of Jahannam. And if that's all you get, you good. But that's not all God sent. There's a secondary reading of the same ayah. It's to tell you how to get the excellent things in this world. And that's where the cheaters that I'm talking about, that's where they cheat you. They'll teach you all that, okay, after you die, oh, the Jannah is so wonderful, oh, the carpets and the couches and the silk and the pearls and the loot, alhamdulillah. I ain't putting that down. I'm trying to get there. Trust this, right? So that's that. But the second is, don't forget your share of the material world. That was most of our last week we spent time. Don't forget your share. So the second reading helps you get the dunya. All right? How does it relate to this life? The third reading is the reading of how to apply what you have read for the building of Ummah. See, all those other things, it's like personal, I want to get the Jannah. Personal, I want to have the excellent things in this world. Collective is how do I use this knowledge to build Ummah, which is the master mission that we're all on from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Muhammad has taught us this. He calls it creation-supported social logic. Once you understand that tertiary reading, that third reading, how that reading is to be applied to building institutions and to building Ummah, now we're on the road to be able to fulfill in our lifetime what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us. May Allah make it so for us. Rabbana, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khuzhu sinatan wa la nawm, lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard, man zal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi, ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum, wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima sha'a, wasi'a kursiyyuhu as-samawati wa al-ard, wa la ya'uduhu hifdhuhuma, wa huwa 'aliyyul 'azhim. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على أهلك وعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Oh Allah, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We humble ourselves in the deepest possible way, and oh Allah, deepen our humility towards you and deepen our gratitude for what you have granted us. Oh Allah, bless us to conform to the guidance and bless us to be purified in the light that you have sent through our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, we beg your guidance, your aid, your assistance, your enlightenment. Oh Allah, we beg your help. We beg your forgiveness. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or hold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salam. Allahu Akbar.
Sitting on an oily rag, the ice is wild. check out your mind. Been with you all the time. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Finding out they overlooked. They never found a missing link. What's got they had a minor thing. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Check out your mind.
Check out your mind.
Check out your mind.
محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for University of Mission Leadership. Alhamdulillah, as usual, we just broadcast yesterday's recording of Jumu'ah Live from Masjid Al-Watin, the fourth portion of Intellect, a subject under the main heading, the five obligations for building Ummah. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for our progression as we continue on that very important subject. As always, we definitely want to hear from you before we move on this morning. There's no education without conversation. Come on through, respecting the protocols, and we are eager to hear from you, to get your contribution to the movement. Alhamdulillah, push one on your phone, come on through, and we want to hear from you. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience. Mark Shahid from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis, in the Show Me State of Missouri. Want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And once again, I want to commend you on an excellent khutbah and a very scholarly khutbah, as all of them have been under this topic that you have and the subtopics that you have in terms of how to construct and to reach the destiny of Ummah. It has been really, really scholarly done with the Quran and the demonstration by the life example of the Prophet and the tafsir, clear explanation by our beloved scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. I have to say that first and foremost. You know, you said so many things, and you know, I was thinking of old philosophy. I learned when I was coming up. I used to love to study philosophy, as she was talking about the mind. And it went like small minds, they talk about people. Average minds talk about things, but great minds talk about ideas. Mm-hmm. And so when you were speaking, and you actually gave, and I know this is a student of Imam, what he called a master key, that the whole of the universe, the natural creation, was created for the human being, which goes to, the Imam also said that the intellect was created for the natural creation, and the natural creation was created for the intellect. And that good analogy that you use with the Rolls Royce, you know, if we see it as a gift, you know, some gifts are just so big, you can't wrap them up. You can't wrap them up, you know. I remember getting a bicycle for Christmas when I was a boy, and it was a bicycle that all three of our brothers had. We all had to share, and I was the oldest. And if I didn't make that happen, then nobody got a chance to ride the bike. But mm-hmm. you get other gifts that have to be unwrapped, and that's the same way in the creation. So, you know, the impregnation, as you so eloquently articulated, that you have to marry this natural creation of the universe, and what it does, it actually brings about an impregnation, you know, that gives birth. So this creation is designed to give birth, you know, not only one time, but again. And I just want to thank you for that and how you're using the framework that Imam gave to us, the Kalaka, the Sawa, the Kalara, and the Hatta, which you will be on next week. I just wanted to acknowledge that and how important it is for us to take that, extrapolate that, and then bring it to developing the social life, the social responsibility that we have and all. I could say more, but I know my time is up. I don't want you to ring the bell off. So I'll stop there, buddy, man. But it's so much that you gave in the Kuban, and I just want you to know that it resonated with me. Thank you, and may Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ever the student and the contributor, alhamdulillah, I appreciate that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Other comments? Before we move on, you know what happens once I move out, then I don't look back. One day I'm gonna find an excuse to play that live version of "Don't Look Back" on there. I gotta figure out something because we always have to look back. So I don't want to say "Don't Look Back." We'll work it out. As-salamu alaykum, brother Imam. What's going on, my brother?
Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum, brother Imam. Enjoyed your sharing. And it had me to reflect upon things I've heard you share, but, of course, our Imam has shared it with us in our relationship with the creation and revelation. And that... I recently looked up some of the photos from the James Webb satellite because I heard that my son had used one of those photos for the cover of his book, and I just found that out on Mark's program. I didn't know that. My wife told me, you know. But anyway, I was thinking that you was sharing what you were in the Kutbah, how we pursue knowledge to grow, such as academics, basic, family, and then even universities. But some of the most creative persons break away from the pattern. They don't necessarily finish their education formal. And we respect those that do. It's very important to work in certain fields, but oftentimes they just get the basics of what they're interested in enough the way that they can go on their own. And the Imam did the same with us with the Quran and his students, and we are responsible to help pass that on as well. What do he would share? And then he said, what did others share? And then it's like, what do you see? And right. And lastly, it's like the analogy, we learn to drive. We follow the academic steps of operating that automobile. But once it becomes comfortable to us, now we're subconsciously driving and we're doing other things. And I see with that Webb telescope, James Webb telescope, you have multitudes of people pursuing what they're seeing in those photos, and those are becoming studies in themselves. I mean, you can't Absolutely. Number the people that have an interest of what they're seeing. And what you Right. touched upon is saying that we should be looking for that same in ourselves and in that creation, opposed to be just servants of those with that creativity. So we thank you, Brother Absolutely. Ma'am. Encourage you to continue. We know we have a mm-hmm. responsibility to share that as well. Assalamu alaikum. One.
I like my son, Brother Ma'am. Appreciate it very much. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that is it. I mean, that's it. And that's why I'm always, I said cheerleader for, they have male cheerleaders too. This game that we are in, and I mean game in the most technical, real sense. And those what he just mentioned is that is what we have to get. You have to go out. You have to go out on your own. You have to move upon your own aspirations, your own appetites, et cetera. All that's coming up, alhamdulillah. What I'm going to do is, and not only is it coming up, it is within what we've already been saying, which is what was just reinforced. Okay, let's go ahead and what happens for us on Saturdays is that you take the time to spend some time with us, then obviously we should put a extra biscuit on the plate. I must be looking for breakfast. So we put an extra biscuit on the plate. I'm going to go ahead and, with Allah's help and grace and permission, share some other things. So the last little piece, I used that language yesterday. I said, well, let me just give you a taste, right? So it's a taste. That taste is going to be about the left brain, right network. Whatever I say about it today, it's not the complete subject because I haven't actually prepared. I'm actually going to be reading to you from some notes that I've taken from one of the sources that I will use to explain this. I haven't seen that. You people, Iman. Inshallah, we look forward to it. If you recommend it, it must be something worth seeing. But let's go to these little notes here. I put the notes on the screen just so you can just look at it, and read it through with me, or read ahead of me. Doesn't matter. So it just takes a note. I know I'm not gonna spend a lot of time here, but Dr. Jordan Peterson. I know he's for some people he's controversial figure. Some people have already decided who he is and who he's not, which is that's what people do. I just say, oh, well, he's this and he's that. But I trust his scholarship. I trust his scholarship on the subject matter that he is expert. And I think that the scholarship is very honest. That's my experience of it. He might, whatever his leaning with regard to how people read or hear what it is that he says, whatever. Some people just don't like people that seem to be conservative and blah blah blah. I'm not there, so I'm just saying. But again, anything I say to you from a Muslim outside of Quran and the Hadith and et cetera, in the language of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, his writings that we have, his transcripts, et cetera, everything else, you got to watch out for the fish bones, okay? You just got to watch out for the fish bones. That's it. But I only recommend those that I feel comfortable enough for. It's like, well, look, if you are, you know, possessed well enough and you are cautious enough to be able to recognize that you do have to think for yourself and everything is not filet, that's outside of Quran and like Imam Prophet Muhammad and what Imam Muhammad has given us there. But Imam Muhammad, sure, he made some quote-unquote mistakes in the course of a lecture, for example. He may say whatever, Moses, when he should have said Abraham, or, you know, those kinds of things. So I'm saying, you know, only thing that's perfect, the only revelation that's the only book and writing, et cetera, that's perfect is the Quran. So let's get past that. All right. Okay. So what I am going to be speaking from is just some of the background content, some of the content that came from a YouTube video by Dr. Peterson. All right. And of course, the value for us is, you know, the Islamic, you know, correlate for what's being talked about. Let's just go through it and then any other editorial kind of thing and comment I need to make onto that. But this is from a YouTube video, 2017, Maps of Meaning, number 10, Genesis and the Buddha. So this is something that happened inside of it. I'm not trying to go over the whole thing. I'm just talking about how brain relates to the nature of creation. All right? So he's talking about, you know, waking consciousness, talking about dreams, and talking about the interplay between, you know, conscious and unconscious and the like. He is a, you know, he is clinical psychologist that has had a practice for many, many years. That's what he did, served people who have these issues. I should say also he's a Jungian psychologist, J-U-N-G-I-A-N, from Carl Jung. And you should also know that Imam Muhammad subscribes quite a bit. I won't say all of the Imam comes from where he comes from. He got what he got from the Quran, like Mala Prophet Muhammad says. Nothing that I say in this respect takes away from the foundation of everything that he brought, being first and primarily from that source. That's it. But the Imam referred us to Joseph Campbell, Hero with a Thousand Faces. Joseph Campbell is a Jungian psychologist. The Power of Myth is a powerful group. Imam Muhammad said he himself studied myth and all of that kind of thing. So I'm saying, if you are a student of Imam or Muhammad, you should know that I don't have no apologies to make in this regard, and I'm not, you know, manufacturing a relationship for the Imam to psychologists and psychoanalysts knowledge, and it's there. He told us that literally. So let's move on. You just have to know how to commentaries from them, and you know where it's like, okay, these people are a little off here, but they're right here. But if you can take 80%, 90%, whatever the case may be, of that, you can't use this part. You can use that part, and you can see the relationship between this part to what Allah says in the Quran, what the Prophet says, and in the case where we need to, where Imam Muhammad said this. I say these things because sometimes if people hear me speaking about something without this inside of the context, they say, oh, man, he's following this Western psychologist, what have you. I'm sorry. I wish I didn't have to do these kind of things, but I have to. But now let's go on. So talking about dreams, the interplay between completeness and coherence, each state sacrifices one for the other. So let's use chess to understand. This is the nature of life. And I should say, chess is a game that is really essentially like the nature of life. It is. For example, chess is a game where you always have to make a move. It's like there's no passing. It's like whist, you know, I pass. No, There's no crashing. You have to, or dominoes, right? You have to do stuff. And no matter what you do, no matter what move you make, there's always either some advantage or some disadvantage. You're trying to find the most advantageous move under the circumstances, which also tells you how chess, or one of the attributes of how chess is like life, because when Allah tells us, strive after what is best under the circumstances, well, that's what you're always trying to do in chess. You're trying to make the best move under the circumstances. So that means knowing how to really analyze the state of the board before you make a move is critical to that. So the point is that's the nature of life is that way. You know, the idea of sometimes you have a complete picture, sometimes you have a partial picture. That is, it is always the case that you only see part of it, which means, therefore, you don't see part of it. There's always a state in the reality of life where some things are clear, and there also other ways where some things are vague. And these things are happening at the same time. That is to say, when I make a move, or right now, you are seeing with your eyes, inshallah. But you're not seeing everything. Your eyes are open, but your eyes are not seeing everything. In fact, from an ocular, I believe it's the right term, from an ocular scientific perspective, they say that if you put you hold your thumb out in front of you and look at your thumbnail, when you look at your thumbnail, you're seeing effectively what the whatever the back of your eyeball is, you know, I think the retina or what have you, that's really how much territory your real focus vision is actually seeing. Everything else, as it moves out, everything, you look at it like this, everything, I think maybe like those TikTok videos or what have you, where you have the panel, but then there's this faded image to the right and to the left of whatever it is that you're looking at centrally, then what's on the right and left is blurred out somewhat. So the point is, as your vision, as the field goes more and more to the periphery, you can come to understand that, yes, I see those things, but they're not in focus. I see those things, but they're not. Okay, well, that's how it is with everything. It's like no matter how wide you might think the area that you're seeing actually is, you're actually only focused on a very, very small piece. Your eyes, your visual, strength is only focused on a very small slice of that whole thing that's in the visual field, right? Okay, so that's the nature of vision, literal physical vision, but at the same time, it's also true for mental vision. It's true for mental vision. It's true for what it is that you are conscious of. You know, until you start thinking about it, you think you're conscious of a lot of stuff. But no, when you technically get to what are you actually conscious of, you'll find that it's a very, very small piece of what's in the visual field that you're actually focused on. Okay, so the point is that's a sign. So creation-supported social logic, right? A sign. It's like, well, it's a sign, but it's a sign pointing to what? It's a sign pointing to the fact that you don't see everything even though your eyes are open, right? So that's the nature of life. That's the nature of existence. So the universe, everything is being shown to us. There's nothing hidden. Like right now, it's like there's no big curtain over the skies or whatever. I mean, forget about the clouds and all, whatever you might be thinking about. The idea is like the universe is an open space. It's totally open, not blurred out, blacked out, da da da, but you can't see all of it. You can't see all of it. So the point is, it's visible, but then at another level, it's invisible. Part of it's visible, but another level, part invisible. I mean, and that's literally true as well. All right? So let's move on. So I'm making the point that the nature of our existence is like the nature of creation itself, even yourself, yourself. It's like 95% of our life is lived unconsciously. You know, you can say unconsciously or you can say subconsciously. At least subconsciously. Subconscious means below consciousness, right? Absolutely. You know, the autonomic nervous system, our sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system, look at how those things operate in us. How much attention are you paying to that? How much attention are you paying to your heartbeat, to your lung operations, to your digestive system, to your blood circulation, et cetera? There's a mechanism, there's machinery, there's brain work that's operating to make sure those things keep going and at the rate that they should be going. You're not conscious of that. We're not conscious of that. But that's our life, right? Many of us, I know it happens all the time. You're driving on, and yeah, sometimes you're on the phone, hands-free, I'm sure, you know. But you're on the phone, you're talking to somebody. You're driving home, you're driving to the store, or what have you. I mean, how much attention are you paying? It's like, yeah, and you stop at all the stop signs, and you signal all your turns, and you signal your lane change. You do all that while you're having this conversation on the phone, going to this familiar place. In reality, you park the car, you get out the car, you're still on the phone, walk to the store. It's like, but you haven't really been conscious of, because your capacity, your skill has developed to such a point where it's not something you have to literally be conscious of. Now, okay, all the other stuff, again, that's why people get in accidents. Yeah, I agree. The number of people who don't have accidents relative to all the numbers of people that are driving, all the numbers of people who do what I'm doing, you know, it's very, very minuscule relative to that. And it's because of the fact that just like you have these self-driving cars now that they have, you know, they're not extremely popular at all right now, but they're there. So you have self-driving cars. Well, actually, we become the mind of the self-driving car that is our car while we're driving. I'm leaving it to you to work that out. So it's like the car is being driven by our subconscious makeup. So basically the car is being driven in connection with a part of ourselves that is just as automatic, is just as autonomous as the electronics and the computer would be in a car that is a self-driving car. That's enough. So the idea that that things are both precise and imprecise simultaneously, that's reality. That a move on the chessboard is advantageous or disadvantageous, that's reality. All right? That things in life are sometimes precise and well-known and otherwise imprecise and not well-known, that's the nature of reality. Okay? So get it understood that we are existing in an existential situation. We are in an existential situation where our life inside is like the life outside. That we are a part of that life. We are a part of that. Some part is complete. Some part of it is incomplete. Some part of it is coherent. Some part of it is incoherent. Some part of it is precise. Some part of it is imprecise. Some things I know, some things I don't know, right? I hope you can understand that's a statement about how you are a part of, when I say you, that's us, a reality that's under construction. That's a big deal. We are a part of a reality that is under construction. Do you know that the destiny that Allah has for the human being hasn't been reached yet? Think about it. The destiny in the Ja'ilu fil Ardi Khalifa, that's not done. So we are in an existence that is under construction. Allah's will is seeking, quote unquote, to unfold and work its way out into this reality that we call reality now, and you and I are a part of that. And so therefore we are also like this universe this work that is under construction, which includes the universe and us as individuals. It's very important. So when we understand that we are a part of that work that is under construction, and we are, then we just simply need to know more about, let's call it the work site. And the work site is ourselves on the inside and the creation on the outside, the outer creation, the physical and the metaphysical. And so the more we master the inside, the more we abstract from the outside, the more we get guided by the outside, because the blueprint for what we're supposed to be doing is in front of our face all the time. The blueprint, but we understand part of the blueprint, and the other part we don't understand. And see, that's where the reading is. You have to learn how to read the blueprint that is the universe, and read it read it with respect for the one who gave us the job, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. We read it with respect for what He expects of us on the construction side. Creation is the blueprint. So you have to ikra bismir rabbika allazi khalaq. So learning how to read the blueprint that is the universe in the interest of completing the work under construction of building Khalifatul Ard, which translates also to Ummah, that's the job. Excuse me. Our brains are constructed and function in accordance with the nature of the reality of our existence. So everything that I just described, it is the brain's job to do the job. It's the brain's job to do the job. All right, listen, I know, put the heart, listen, my mom is doing us all the proper relationship to it. And again, when we say, let's cover that just a little bit real quick. When we say that the intellect is an attribute of the soul, then you should also understand that the heart is an attribute of the soul, right? The heart is an attribute of the soul. Critical relationship between the heart and the intellect, right? So your heart sounds more concrete. That's because automatically when we say heart, you think automatically about an organ called the heart. When you say intellect, you don't think immediately about an organ called that. So you could say heart, brain. But the point is, just don't take heart so much as concrete. Move that also. You could say heart, you could say emotions, you could say a lot of things. But that attribute, particularly as the heart, related to what we're talking about right now, should be that heart that's given to God, that heart that's given to God. The heart is like your interest. Your heart is what your heart is a sign and symbol of what you're interested in. Right? You know, you can put other labels on it, desire, different things like that. But for what we're talking about right now, just take it as interest. See, the intellect doesn't just go out and just act. The intellect, there's a motive force behind the intellect. The intellect doesn't just go do stuff, no matter what it sees. No. The intellect is the servant of interest. The intellect is the servant of interest. Third time, Sunnah, right? The intellect is the servant of interest. So why do you study whatever it is that you study? Because you want to. You want to. Why don't you study other things? Because you don't want to. Right? The term Talib translates to student. Right? Student. Right? And you hear in that. Study, right? Student, somebody who studies, right? Talib is appetite also. Talib is appetite, right? study what you have an appetite for, right? Intellect is servant of interest. So intellect doesn't ever act on its own. It acts because of what the heart puts it to. Now, if the heart has diseased interest, it can have an IQ of 150. But it's going to use that high IQ to serve those diseased interests. Now, you got that. Because that's precisely what's happening in the world right now. You have people with diseased interests who have hired high IQs to serve their diseased interest. And brother and sister, you can apply that to every imaginable industry that exists right now. In them, there is someone somewhere that has a very high IQ that is serving diseased interests. So don't get locked up on it's the heart. It's the heart. Don't get locked up on that. There's a relationship between the heart and the intellect. And when we talk about these things in this deconstructive kind of way, you might feel like they're being separated, but they're not separated. But let's go on then. So in terms of the intellect. We talked about let's go with this. Our brains are structured and function in accordance with the nature of the reality of our existence. I hope you grasp that. Our world is always partially known and partially unknown. That's always the case. The world is partially ordered and partially chaos. So beautiful. It's like, I'm talking to you right now, before the full, I'm going to stay with the appetite, the full plate has really been prepared. But to understand that idea about partially ordered, partially chaos, you remember when Allah says in the Quran, he says, and he turned his attention to the heavens, and it was as a smoke. He said, come ye together willingly or unwillingly. And then the creation declared, we come together willingly, right? That's a movement from chaos to order. And that's also a sign of what has to happen with us. Watch this. We have this word, confused. I'm confused about this. Or I'm confused about that. Okay, break it up. Confused. If something is fused, that means it's all fused together. It's been. So if a person is confused, that means they haven't learned how to differentiate between one thing and the other. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is you're talking about, it doesn't. You choose. It could be history, culture, biology, politics. Doesn't matter. If your head doesn't feel, and this is, it doesn't feel this clarity and peace, because understanding is the arrival of clarity. Understanding is the arrival, and all these other things. Understanding is the arrival of precision. Understanding is the arrival of coherence. Understanding is the arrival of knowledge. Understanding is the arrival of order. About anything, whatever. Right? You're going to school to be a doctor, you're going to school to be a lawyer, you're going to school to be an engineer, confusion is the beginning. Confusion, that's why you're in school. Okay? But then the more you understand, the less confused the things are. You don't mix this up with that. You don't mix that up with that. Some people are confused about Imam Wahdati Muhammad's language. Yeah. That ain't the language of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. Really? Maybe you're confused. But just understand that. Let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, this is no boast. And I never want to spoil Allah's blessings on me. So I have to talk like this to say, look, I would tell you this. I'm happy about it. I'm grateful for it. But I was guided to this understanding by observing nature, right? And it's the grace of Allah. So, alhamdulillah, it had to be one of those times. I can't even remember it. I'm sure I won't let it be one of those times. But you know how sometimes you get in trouble with your wife, so you're married, you get in trouble with your wife. I think this must have been one of those good times, one of those anniversary times, one of those birthday times. I bought her roses. Right? And you don't want roses, you know, that's just on the edge of going out, right? No. You got to get them right at that peakish point of that deep. You know, the red is what we're going for, that richness, right? You know what that color? There's a beautiful name for that kind of red, but it's casing right now. But all right, so you have these buds. But you know, before the rose opens up, it's in this little whatever the bud, yeah, because rose buds, right? So it's in the little green, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. The green leaves are like, they're all together, right? Then when the greenness opens up and then the redness comes out, right? I looked close at these buds, and there were little white lines, Oh, yeah, just like when the woman is pregnant, there's a line on her belly that lengthens as the pregnancy goes, right? So this rose had this little white line, and I recognized that, this is the scene at which the petals of the rose, but the petal of the little green part, they're going to separate. Right now they're together, but the little white line is saying this is where they're going to be separated. And when they get separated, then the blossom, the flower, is going to come out. And so the reading for me of that was distinction is in maturity. Distinction is in maturity. And this is always and already true grammar, and particularly Arabic grammar, but it's English too, but Arabic grammar, these are things you know, right? Where we talk about the nekira and the ma'arifa. Nekira, the indefinite, and ma'arifa. Ma'arifa, the definite. The indefinite and the definite, right? Something is indefinite, it can be, but something that's definite is a apple. You give it an end, like, it was an apple. I like Gala apple. Gala, right? That's a definite apple. So if you just have an apple, it could be any apple, right? But a gala apple is a definite apple. So nekira, one is nekira and the other is ma'arifa. So, okay? So this is to say distinction is in maturity, right? So that means then that as you mature in whatever knowledge it is that you're talking about, you are able to make the distinctions. So you're confused like those rose petals that haven't been separated yet, and therefore they're immature, but when they get separated, now they're mature, and now the beauty comes out of it. The beauty comes out of it as you mature. And that's what I'm trying to make the point that that's how everything is. That's how everything is. You're studying Arabic, then you're trying to move from nekira to ma'arifa. Now, that I'm using those terms abstractly, right? You will learn about the nekira and ma'arifa if you haven't already, but the point is your state will be one where you're moving from nekira to ma'arifa, moving from, in this expression, you're moving from immaturity to maturity. You're moving from confusion to coherence. How do you do that? You have to do what you have to do in terms of study, reading, acquiring knowledge, learning the details, and as those details come into your head, then the understanding also arrives where you're able to make distinctions where you couldn't make those distinctions before. So understand this: if you don't check yourself in terms of whatever, it's like, listen, frustration doesn't do you any good at all in studying. Oh, this is, and this is, and I got to know that, and I got to stop it. What? Quit then. It's like, why? What you going through all this for? You don't have to. But if you really want it, then get my point. Just have to work where you can learn how to make the decision. Aim at the distinction. Don't aim at, I need to know everything right now. I want to get past this lesson. No. You're not going to get past that lesson until you pass that lesson. And you're not going to pass that lesson until you get the facts and the data points and the information and the vocabulary and know what the word actually means. Until you get that in your head and own it, you're going to be confused. That's it. So it's like, okay, so what do you want to do? You want to sit there enjoying your confusion, enjoying your frustration, enjoying your, because that's what you're doing, enjoying your anxiety. Oh, man, I'm so frustrated. Ain't it a beautiful thing? I'm so upset. Isn't that beautiful? Because I'm upset because of Arabic. I'm upset because of the Quran. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, watch out. You should know that Shaitan puts a twist on everything. I'll put it like that. Sometimes I got to go to the hood because I think the hood just says it best. Moving on. All right. So our brains are structured and function in accordance with the nature of the reality of our existence. Our world is always partially known, partially unknown, partially ordered, partially chaos. All right. Sometimes we need to see the forest. Sometimes we need to see the trees. Okay. So that's where we're starting to move into this construct. Understand that word. Work with that word. Construct. It's like, listen, the quote-unquote postmodernists, and you should try to understand them. And I think Dr. Jordan Peterson does a wonderful job for those who want to academically understand the source and the reality and the impact of postmodernism, because this whole trans thing and the alphabet community and them driving against nature and all that kind of thing, that's coming out of a philosophy called postmodernism. I am telling you, you have been told, again, that's another thing that, you know, you can sit there, you know, sweating and worrying and stressing. Well, look what they're doing now. Like, come on. But yeah, and they're going to keep doing it. And it's going to move to another level. I won't name this movie, but I always thought this was, it's in the public domain. I always thought this movie. It's like, what the hell? This movie is like dominating Best Picture nominations for the Oscars this year. I'm not gonna say it because I don't want you. I really don't want you seeing that movie. This movie, I won't even say that because if I say it, let me go see. He said, don't go see that one. Then he goes, okay, you go in there, you might not come out. So let's move away from that. The point is that this construct, the idea. So the postmodernists, they have the idea. That the idea of male, female, you get this language, the language that born out of this postmodernist philosophy, the idea that, well, if if when you were born you were assigned female or you were assigned male? Who's doing the assignment? All right. Matt Damon is in some kind of movie. I can't think of the name of it. Look up his filmography where he's trying to go and what's that boy? The boy that got Captain America's shield. So the point is that the whole idea is that there's some kind of corporation that's involved with deciding our destinies, right? And those corporations can make mistakes. Well, that kind of attitude is the kind of attitude that these people who are driving and moving the revolutionary force to destroy existing issues. Please understand this, brothers and sisters. Their goal, stated, not hidden, is to destroy existing traditions, institutions, including marriage, family, gender. This is their revolution. The more they destroy respect for, dependence upon, the embrace of these, quote, traditional / natural values, the more successful they consider themselves. You need to understand that. Right? So the idea of construct, that's the thing that I'm just trying to get to. There's truth to the fact that, yes, family is a special concept. When you go to Europe, you're going to have, let's say with the traditionally instantiated, that is, those cultures and institutions that have been instantiated over centuries in the various countries, right? So you have a family model that's been instantiated in Asia that came into instantiation by the natural evolution of the people in that geography, and it was upon that instantiation of family, which may be different from Africa, may be different from Europe, may be different from Pacific Islanders, et cetera. But the point is, it worked for the Chinese, or it worked for the whichever Asian population you want to choose. All right? Where did it come from? It came out of the nature of their existence. It came out of the nature of their geography, the nature of their time, the nature of their place, the nature of their needs. And if you look at the longstanding history of that family construction. You know what I'm saying? Look it up. I'm saying you can do it for any one of us. What is the profile of the Asian family, right? And there's going to be an answer. It's going to be some kind of profile, et cetera, et cetera. That thing didn't just happen in the 20th century or 21st century. That thing developed over thousands of years for those people in that geography. And they decided upon, okay, this is the way we're going to do family, right? And then once that got instantiated, then I don't know what my numbers are in relative to this, but then the point is, and it stayed for centuries, perhaps for millennia. Once it got established, then it reproduced, reinforced. More and more things were designed to keep it true to that particular form. That was the nature of the job from that point on. Okay, this is what we got. This is what we need to hold on to. This is what we keep stable. This serves as the foundation for our existence going forward into the future. And blah, blah, blah. So everything gets structured to support and reinforce and protect that design. Where did this design come from? It came from their experience. What is it in the final analysis? It's a social construct. Thing that human beings, out of their experience, decided to structure their life in this way because this is the way that best fits where we come from and where we are and where we want to go. That's what the Asians did. That's what the Africans did. That's what the Europeans did, and every other people that has an established life. That's what they did. They decided on a social construct that fits it. And, you know, and the so-called postmodernists, they should be known. And I'm telling you, you should know. You should learn about these. You learn. Get postmodernism for dummies. That's not. Do, get something simple. Right? But you need to know it because that's what's driving the enemies. When I talk about 4119, Soul 4 IR 119, postmodernism is what's driving that today. Okay? That's who they're in that car. And they're driving things toward that way. Okay. Okay. So in terms of this, we talk about social construct. Okay. If you're with me on what I've said so far, okay, social construct Asia, social construct Africa, social construct Europe, social construct Pacific, social construct America, right? America's real young, so America's not absolutely positively, you know, a real useful model for this long-term humanity. We're a new project. We're like less than 300 years old. That's infant. In the scale of civilization. We've had a lot of progress, but infant. What's better is to think about those real old, millennial old structures. So in terms of I got to give you one more example. Forgive me. I hope I'm not frustrating you on this. But I mean, if I knew this was coming, I could put this. But you can do it in a theater of your mind. Imagine some Asian writing, and you know that my hand went up and down because that's how their letters read. You read, I believe, down there, up, I know it's in columns. You're reading that way. English, you're reading this way. You're reading from left to right. Arabic, you're reading from right to left. Okay? Now, I'm going to have the word water, and that's an English word, but whatever the Asian word for water, you have it written in those characters, water. I could have the English word water. You can have the Arabic word for water. So if I don't know how you say water in Chinese, I know that you say ma in Arabic, water in English, and then agua in Spanish. Right? So there's four, for example. Now imagine you're seeing those four expressions. They all point to that. So let's say I just have an image of water over here. So you have this image, water, literal water. Then you have agua, then you have ma, then you have whatever I say. I don't know the Asian. But the point is, you have four different writings over here. Is the Arabic writing describing this thing we know as water in English? Is the Arabic for this, or the Asian writing for this, or the Spanish writing for this, or the English writing for this? Which one is better? Which one is better? As it points to that, which one is better? No sense in even really thinking about it. Neither one of them is better because they're all simply pointing to the same thing. Write it in Chinese, write it in Spanish, write it in English, write it in Arabic. In the end, the most important thing is, well, what is it pointing to? What is it describing? It's scripture describing this. What? Oh, water. Well, which one is better? Well, for the Arabic-speaking person, the Arabic word is better. For the Asian literate person, the Asian literacy is better. For the Arabic, for the Spanish, for the English, etc. That's what makes it better. But the point is, and this is the devilishment that I guess I'm trying to point to right now in this postmodernist attitude toward these institutions that they're seeking to destroy. That is to say, well, they're all the same. They're saying everything is a social construct. Therefore, everything is the same. Therefore, why do I have to subscribe to your social construct? That's simplicity of the argument behind it, right? But they're not doing that just for words. They're doing that for every established, instantiated institution, no matter how old marriage, for example, no matter how long marriage has been around. And that's a good question to put to Mr. Google. How long has monogamous unions been in existence among human beings? We mean male and female. Look that up. Get a number for that. And that's what those who are attacking that institution, that's what they are against. They are against something that has evolved out of nature, been instantiated in nature, been affirmed by civilizations thousands of years old, and they're saying now, we don't need that. We don't want that. That's unnatural. That's not only that, it's oppressive. That's what we are dealing with, brothers and sisters. All right. And a part of the problem around that, this has to do with left brain, right brain, which is a social construct. But since I've said this much, I'm going to go ahead and say this. So it's like that's the mix of truth and falsehood that they use. That's where their power comes from, because of the confusion, right? There are some very high IQs. I know of a professor that's on there online. He said he was a professor, a high level. I'm not even sure if he got a Nobel level, that thing, right? It's like Bruce Jenner and the decathlon, right? I mean, come on now. This is the guy who runs the decathlon, and now he's whatever. I don't even feel like saying that. The other thing is, so this professor, so because I talked to you about high IQs, remember, the intellect is servant of interest. So if you got a high IQ, but now if this person has postmodernist interest, they're taking their high IQ and taking that philosophy and using it and following its desires, right? Following the desires and the objectives of that, using their high IQ. And so they are fashioning intellectual weapons against those institutions. That's what they have think tanks, and they have fellowships, and they have grants, and they have research monies that are given to craft weapons against the established institution. The war against nature and natural organization of society. It's critical. And we need to be in that fight. All right, so mashallah. So we said that much about the idea about, so I'm saying the mixed up truth is this, and their power comes from the ignorance of the people in the masses of society, which these people who are turning the revolution from that side, they dwell on mental tricks, logical fallacies, glittering half-truths, that if you don't have the mind to make the distinction, to make the separation, then you're going to be confused. And so, therefore, you're immature. And being immature, I have pressed you into a place where I can play you like a baby and treat you like a baby and make you feel like a baby, because you're lost in the conversation. You're lost. one of the ways that society is controlled. Controlled by chaos and confusion. Temptation told us that, didn't it? Ball of confusion. All right. So, okay, look. I've kept that piece up on the screen for so long. If you're interested in reading it, you would have read it by now. But this was, excuse me, you know what kind of conversation this was. This is extemporaneous, relatively speaking, based on these notes. And inshallah, I'm sure, by the grace of Allah, inshallah, there has been some benefit in this for you. But we're going to have to check out for right now. I'm going to go ahead and take that out. And let me see. Let's hit a couple of these notes, and then we're going to move on. Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Aziz. Alhamdulillah. Imam Kareem. Khalil Abdullah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Beautiful family. Allahu Akbar. Historic Tulsa, Oklahoma. Alhamdulillah. Imam Eric, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Vanessa, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum to you as well. All right, everybody. Everybody have a wonderful day. Make dua for me, I make dua for you, mashallah. May Allah continue to bless us. Nothing going on for me tomorrow on these public channels. We have Shahada Tain Institute, nothing for clear understanding. Myself and Imam Dr. Nuruddin collaborating on a weekend empowerment weekend on Zoom. Check in on go to clearunderstanding.org, clearunderstanding.org, or pardon me, clearunderstanding.institute, and you can register for that. Look that up. I should have been more ready in terms of that. Let me see. Banner. So we gotta go. So look for that, and we will be ready. I thought these banners get created and stay. Enough of that. So check in at clearunderstanding.institute. You can also Dr. Abdul J. Nuruddin. Look him up. And it's all on Eventbrite. And we can do that. I'll be more ready next time. March 18th and 19th. God's peace, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.